Support for Soundwaves from the Underground is brought to you by 24tix.com, the most convenient way to buy tickets to your favorite local concerts. Save time, save money, rock out. 24tix.com, your ticket to the experience.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone.
Slim Fossey, all across the nation. Smash and bang is my favorite combination.
Sling it.
Gavin, how do you like that?
Yeah.
Once again, you have turned on the Soundwaves from the Underground podcast, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. I'm Dan Nalen, and Slug is an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, and it's one of the oldest independent publications in the entire United States, distributing free monthly issues about music, art, action, sports, and subculture. In this episode, we have Breath Advisor. They do little breathalyzer tests in local bars around town. We have Sugar House Barbecue dropping by to tell us about some exciting news in the history of that little restaurant in Sugar House, and then we talk spring movies with our very own movie critic, Jimmy Martin. You know, I bet a lot of our listeners to the old podcast probably think it would be kind of fun to have a breathalyzer test done maybe when you're out at a bar or something, just to know, A, that you're not dumb enough to get in your car if you've been getting all drunk and whatnot, and just to see those kind of numbers pop up and see what, you know, 0.20 actually feels like. Breath Advisor is a new company in town. They have kiosks at a few local bars that can do just that. They can measure your breath and give you your alcohol levels, and it'll help law enforcement, and it'll help you from getting those dreaded DUIs, of course. Slug columnist Mike Brown sat down with the co-founder, Jason Knott, over a couple of drinks at Zest to talk about the device and to test it out himself.
Sorry, I've been drinking. Basically, a good thing about my job is that every once in a while I get paid to drink, and today's one of those things. And so I'm sitting here with Jason Knott, who works for Breath Advisor. Kind of give us a little breakdown of the company, like how did it start, what's it about, all that fun stuff.
Well, the idea came about almost 3 years ago now, and it was kind of an embarrassing story, but I almost got a DUI. I should have gotten a DUI. I was drinking with some friends. At the end of the night, we called the cab, we're waiting for the cab, and it came. And my buddy, who I was with, had met a girl there that night, and it didn't happen very often, so as soon as that cab got there, he jumped in it with his girl and left me and the other guys that were there at the bar. And so we're kind of thinking, you know, should we wait for another cab? And I was at that point thinking, well, I'm probably good to drive, you know, I think I'm fine, I feel fine, and I'm out there kind of walking the line, you know, thinking I'm good. And so I decided to go for it, and immediately when I pulled out of the bar, I got pulled over by a cop. So he asked me to go through all the field sobriety tests, and I passed them all fine. Then he asked me to blow in a breathalyzer, and I blew 0.081, which is 0.01 over the legal limit, so just barely over. And he asked me to blow again, so I blew again, and it was 0.089. So I was even higher than the first time, and at this point I thought I was screwed. I'm going to get a DUI. The fines average around $10,000, and you know, there's no way I can afford that. And you know, what's going to happen with my job? All sorts of things are running through my mind. And the cop kind of walks away, shaking his head and muttering some shit under his breath, and he comes back to me and says, "You know, if I don't throw you in jail, I could lose my job." And I said I understood, and then he followed with, "However, I'm not convinced you can't operate this vehicle. So park this fucking car at that gas station and call a cab." And so I couldn't believe how lucky I was at this point. And the cop followed me over to the gas station, then waved me over again. He's like, "This is how many DUIs I've given out tonight." And he had 6 clipboards in his car. And so I you know, I'm kind of in awe at how lucky I am. And I just thanked him, you know, thank him for giving me a second chance. And it was at that point when I got home and I was kind of relieved, and I was thinking about it and thought this is a problem I wanted to solve, because I really didn't think I was too intoxicated to drive. And I think this is where people get caught in the situation a lot, is they think they're okay, but they're not. And a simple mistake costs them, you know, $10,000. So I decided to come up with Breath Advisor. And at the time I was enrolled in a class at Westminster College, Fundamentals of Entrepreneurship. And we had to come up with a business idea. And so this is my idea, is have a breathalyzer kiosk at the bars where people can get an accurate reading, and then have the option to request a cab directly from the machine at the end of the night. That's kind of how it started.
So do you work directly with the cab companies?
Right now we're still working on that integration. Like I said, it started in 2010. We've just barely gotten to the point where we have a breathalyzer kiosk. So, right. You know, we got the interface working, we got the basic functionality. We partnered with a company called LifeLock Technologies. They're a company out of Colorado that produces these police-grade breathalyzers. So now we're at the stage where we're starting to add those features where, you know, you can request a cab and there will be certain incentives for doing so on the kiosk. So still got to work out that, and we're working on it right now and should launch that within the next couple months.
We're sitting here at Zest's kitchen and bar, mostly at the bar. So I'm wondering what other bars, I know you're still kind of new, but what other bars and clubs are you guys located in right now?
So we're in five right now. We are in Lumpy South, Canyon Inn, Zest here, and One Night Club, and Wasatch Brew Pub in Park City.
Do you ever see like your kiosks being a requirement, kind of given Utah's little stricter laws, or have you had any contact with the DABC or feedback or anything like that?
You know, I actually could see it becoming some sort of requirement that, you know, at least bars offer the option to have a breathalyzer available for their patrons, but I definitely don't see it anytime soon. You know, right now it's just the bar owners that actually care about their patrons and realize that it hurts their business when their patrons get a DUI and they're actually seeking out, you know, to have this. They'll do anything to, you know, protect their patrons. So we've gotten a lot of good feedback in that regard, and talked to a friend of mine's father works at DABC, and so I'm not sure if I should mention his name or not, but I liked what he said about our company, and that was that, you know, it's another angle of preventing DUIs, and that's what it is, because there needs to be a comprehensive approach to preventing DUIs. You know, you can raise fines, but there's a certain point where that'll have diminishing returns, and there needs to be multiple ways of solving this problem, and so we're fighting a different solution to the problem.
You kind of mentioned cops using portable breathalyzers or whatever. Is it like the same manufacturer that makes yours? I know yours are kind of set up more as like a kiosk kind of touchscreen sort of thing. But as far as like, I don't know, I guess my question is, are breathalyzers kind of standard across the board? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. And that was one of the biggest things, because there's been breathalyzer kiosks before. This is not a new concept. And the issue is that they don't use the top of the line technology. And there's fuel cell grade breathalyzers and semiconductor breathalyzers. And the semiconductor breathalyzers can be thrown off by smoke, humidity, temperature, all sorts of things will give you an inaccurate reading. Not to mention, even on their good days, they're pretty volatile. Fuel cell is much more accurate. You know, we went a step further than that and went with an FDA cleared and DOT approved breathalyzer that's produced by LifeLock, which no other company that I'm aware of is utilizing at this point in time. So, you know, we're not in the business of creating breathalyzers. We're leaving that to other professionals who are dedicated to ensuring that their breathalyzer technology is the most accurate on the market, and we're making that accessible to patrons.
All right, so if there is a way to fool a breathalyzer, you're probably not going to tell us, right?
I have not found a way to fool a breathalyzer yet. You know, you can do the penny trick. One thing you need to make sure of, though, is to make sure you, if you just have a sip of beer and you go blow in the breathalyzer and it's your first sip of beer of the night, you're going to blow 0.15. You're going to blow high because the alcohol is still in your mouth. So at the very least, rinse your mouth out with water. You know, to get the accurate reading, you have to wait 15 minutes after your last sip of alcohol, because it gets all the alcohol out of your mouth. But other than that, I don't really know of a way to fool the breathalyzer.
Has there been any feedback so far from law enforcement from you guys as to like what you're doing? I think they would see it as like an asset to the community for sure. I think a lot of people do. But like, you know, specifically like, you know, have cops like ever came in any of the bars where your breathalyzers are at and they're like, whoa, that's cool?
I haven't had any direct feedback aside from friends that are in the law enforcement agency, and they're all for it. You know, they say they don't like handing out DUIs. But one of their main concerns was educating people on how they're still going to be processing the alcohol after they consume it. So you can have a couple shots at the bar, you know, wait 15 minutes and go blow in a breathalyzer, and you might not blow that high, but your body's still metabolizing the alcohol. So you need to make sure you give it a good enough amount of time to get that accurate reading. But what I found is when you start drinking at the beginning of the night, and say we have a couple shots, you know, we start feeling the buzz. If we go blow, we're probably going to blow 0.06 or something, kind of under the limit. And you probably wouldn't drive because relative to the beginning of the night when you were sober, you know, you can feel the effects of alcohol. So you're thinking, when I feel effects of alcohol, I shouldn't drive. And that's a good thing. But when you're out partying all night, you get up to 0.2, you know, you're pretty intoxicated. And you wait a few hours after that, have a glass of water. You're going to feel much more capable because your blood alcohol is going down, and relative to where you were, you know, you're much more aware of what's going on. And but you, if you blow, you're going to be around 0.12 still. So it's kind of, your perception is based on where you were, is what I found. So at the end of the night is where people really need to utilize the breathalyzer, because I think they'll be surprised with their results.
I'm a couple shots deep and maybe half a Bud Light. All I've had to eat today is a Jamba Juice. I think it's time I try this breathalyzer out, see where I'm at, see what I score.
When was your last sip of alcohol?
About 5 minutes ago.
You might be all right. Let's go give it a shot.
Let's give it a shot. So if you haven't seen one of these things, I mean, it wouldn't strike you as like a breathalyzer right off the bat. It says breathalyzer, super highlighted. Kind of looks like a touch screen jukebox that they have in bars now, right?
Yeah, advertisements going on the main screen. We sell ad space, so it's touch screen operated, so just go up to it. You can either swipe your card directly and it'll activate it, or just touch it to get to the main screen. Then you're presented with big buttons, so even if you're inebriated, you should be all right.
Oh, good call.
So we're going to hit begin breath check. Then it takes us to a disclaimer, which emphasizes that you should wait at least 15 minutes after ingesting alcohol. So then I'm going to accept the disclaimer. I'm going to swipe my card here.
So I just take one of these straws. So there's a little straw here just hanging out there. I put it here?
Don't put it all the way into the hole. I found people shove it all the way to the back, so it closes off their airflow. So we're actually getting new straws that don't go all the way in. They're a little bit bigger.
I could make such a dirty joke right now.
Yeah.
And then just blow?
Yep. Keep blowing until you hear a beep. See, you put it all the way to the back.
Oh, shit. Sorry. All right, wait. Should I start over?
Yeah.
What do I do?
Here. There you go.
Yeah. This thing works fast.
All right.
Oh, then it tells... No way! 0.079. I am a 0.001 millimeter under the legal limit right now. Thank you, my European drinking genes. Wow.
But one thing to note as well is you can still get a DUI if you blow under the legal limit. So if you fail that field sobriety test, you can blow under and still get a DUI. So that's something to be aware of.
That's a good point. Nope, that's a very good point.
Then we have this request a cab button. So right now it only displays numbers to local taxi agencies. But soon you'll be able to enter how many patrons are in your party and your cell phone number, and it will request a cab directly from the machine.
You know, that's still really handy because I mean, I've worked in bars, I've been a bartender, I've had to do the whole, like, hey, buddy, I think you should call a cab talk. And I am shocked, absolutely shocked at how many people don't have cab numbers in their phones, like programmed in their phones, where they're like, you know, I understand if you're so wasted you can't operate your phone, you probably can't operate your car, but it always struck me as funny that like that you don't even know, like,
yeah.
how many times are you driving wasted, buddy?
Put some numbers up there easy for you and you can just make the call. Also, the bartenders are more than happy to call a cab for you too, so go up to them. Yeah, overall it's pretty easy to use interface. And also, we'd love your feedback. We are the developers of this program, so we're always making changes and improvements and hoping for user feedback.
Any additional info you want to plug, like a website, contact info, how can people find out about Breath Advisor and what you guys are doing?
You can visit breathadvisor.com or also our Facebook page and our Twitter account, facebook.com/breathadvisor and twitter.com/breathadvisor. And we throw out promo cards and free uses all the time. So If $2 to $3 is too steep for you, then you can easily find a way to use it for free. So check us out on Facebook and give us a like.
Yeah, $2 is like a third of a price of a drink at pretty much any bar in the city. And if you don't have $2 to spend to find out if you're too wasted or not to drive home and end up spending, what's the average DUI cost now?
The average DUI is 10 grand, and it's been known to get up to close to mid 20K. So they're crazy, and it's hard to recover and bounce back from a DUI. So anything you can do to save yourself from that trouble, do it.
Breath Advisor kiosk can currently be found at Zest, Canyon Inn, Lumpy's down on the south side on the Highland Drive, Wasatch Brew Pub, and One Nightclub. For more information on the device, visit them online at breathadvisor.com. Lady Murasaki is a four-piece pop rock bluesy band from Salt Lake City that originally formed in July 2011, and they've had a constantly rotating lineup ever since. Currently, they feature Amber Taniucci on vocals and guitar, Stephen McSweeney on guitar, Tyler Morris on bass, and Jonathan Baez on the drums. In February last year, the group released their debut self-titled EP, and they are currently working on some new music. Here is a song from Lady Murasaki called Hope Is Still Around the Corner. Murasaki will be playing Slug's localized show on March 8th, along with Secret Abilities and 90s Television. Tickets are a mere $5, with music kicking off right around 10 p.m. at the Urban Lounge. To read more about the band, check out the March issue out now, and to find out more online, go to facebook.com/Lady Murasaki Band. We are here with Bill Smithers, the owner of Sugar House Barbecue, which, if people don't know, is about to have sort of a major business change under their belt. Bill, welcome to the Soundways from the Underground Studio.
Thank you for having me.
Really appreciate it. I'm a big fan of the place, as I was telling you before. I've been going there for many years. How long have you guys been open now?
A little over 16 years.
16? Oh,
yeah,
my God.
96 we started.
That makes me feel really old. Okay. So, yeah, I moved back to town in like 98, 99, and I've definitely been going there ever since.
Right on.
As a big barbecue fan. Why don't we just jump right in? You're going to be moving the joint here pretty soon, probably shortly after people will be hearing this podcast. Tell us a little bit about what's happening with that.
Well, as everybody knows, or not everybody knows, the streetcar's coming right next to Sugar House Barbecue.
Yeah.
Our property line goes about a foot off the building, so we're going to lose about 80% of our parking.
Ooh.
And we live in a city of convenience and accessibility, and once that happens, 12 parking spots isn't going to be enough, even
right.
with a streetcar.
Yeah.
So the building really needs a repurpose for more catered to what's going on with that streetcar, because it's going to be great with the bike path, everything that they're doing. It's just the barbecue can't live there. So
yeah.
We found the Au Naturel building on the corner of 9th and 21st, and took on a nice big lease and a nice city loan, and... we're dialing it in.
And that, if people don't remember, that is on the corner of like 21st and 9th on like the south west corner.
Mm-hmm, across from
Smith's. Formerly a bank, maybe before it was Au Naturel.
It was a bank,
something.
A Christian bookstore,
Au
Naturel, and now hopefully for a very long time, the barbecue.
So, tell us a little bit about just the sheer logistics of, especially a 16-year-old business. I mean, you're established. It's grown over the years. Mm-hmm. It's grown in size. You've added, you know, a bar aspect to it, or liquor license and stuff along the way, right? And now you're up and moving. I mean, I know you're doing a lot of decoration stuff, but what about just sheerly moving a business like that? What are the big challenges for that?
It's quite a task, especially when you have smokers. So we have three smokers that we're going to have to move. And then the actual... having as little downtime as possible is key to us. So we're going to build everything up, keep ourselves open as long as we can. I've got the construction company working with me so that they don't go and start doing stuff where our parking lot is as it stands.
Right.
So they're being very kind to me, giving me the time. So basically, it's going to be a high wire act. We're going to try and be closed for a week or a week and a half and get everything moved over, basically have the restaurant ready to move into, all the new equipment that we're putting in, anything we're taking from the barbecue goes over in a week and a half. We're getting chairs painted in a week and a half. We're getting tables topped in a week and a half. So,
it's going to be challenging. So, we're going to have a distinctly different vibe, you think, inside who visit?
Yeah, people are going to love it. That's the great thing. We're basically shining our rough edges. So, we're going into a newer, more modern, up-to-date building. The best part is I found a 120-year-old barn in the Sugar House area. We took it down piece by piece. We've got every piece of wood, and it's going to be created, all the partitions, everything's going to be made out of this 120-year-old wood. So the feel is going to be no more slate, no big slate wall, none of the stuff that you knew other than
the
really,
red bone
really,
side is going to be
the
gone.
The red bones, it's all gone. It's all gone.
Yeah, I mean, obviously besides the name of the place, but I mean... when you had an opportunity to look around and you had decided you were going to move out of this other space, or you're being forced to move out, I mean, did you look in many other directions? Did you look maybe even to leave Sugar House, or were you bound and determined to stick around there?
I can't say I'm Sugar House born and raised because I'm from Boston, but I've been here since 91. And I've always lived in Sugar House. My house is in Highland Park, which is just on the other side of the highway.
Right.
I own Este Pizza Sugar House, so that's going to be right next door to us.
Oh, yeah.
I love Sugar House, and that's the only place I want to do business. I don't plan on having three Sugar House barbecues around the valley. It's a destination spot. I want to grow that. That's the most important thing to me.
And looking just at actual spaces, I mean, you found this Au Naturel space. Were there other spaces in the Sugar House neighborhood that you looked at all, or did you kind of have an eye on this?
Well, all the new stuff that they're doing, they're basically pricing any, like, I consider myself a mom and pop. We've been around for a while, but we're a mom and pop. We've been priced out of...
Like the converted
new
granite furniture space.
All that new
space
stuff,
or
it's like $32 a square foot, $38 a square foot.
Wow.
I kind of like having a freestanding building also.
Yeah.
So to be in almost downtown Sugar House with parking, our own building, it comes with a second building that we're going to do something cool with.
Yeah.
So I get to focus on that old school part of Sugar House, and seeing that they lost most of that.
Yeah.
That
the hole,
urban,
where the hole was.
Yeah, where the hole was, but that was an affordable place for small people to do small things.
Absolutely.
So that area that we're in now is kind of going to transition into that kind of old school sugar house area.
Nice.
So that's the area that I'm going to focus all my attention on.
That's great. And certainly the area around Este and Sugar House is like that too.
Mm-hmm,
kind of
exactly.
Some cool old buildings.
Exactly.
Do you know, so how far will you be from a stop on the trolley? You've probably looked at this trolley line a lot more than most of us have.
Oh, yes.
I mean, is there going to be a stop pretty close to where
there'll
you are now?
There'll be a stop on 9th.
Oh, okay.
Just
to the
where
south.
Where we are right now, there'll be a stop on 7th on the west side.
Oh, right.
Because where our building is, it's a pinch
right
point.
There.
It's about as close as it gets for them. They have as little space to work with.
Yeah.
So there'll be a crosswalk and a stop on the other side of 7th. And then where the barbecue is going to be, it'll just be half a block away from the 9th East stop.
Well, that's great. So Hopefully you guys can take some advantage of that. Is that I have the feeling Sugar House is growing in that direction where you're going to have more residents and more businesses and more of this kind of walking vibe, hopefully,
yeah,
that this trolley
I'd love
thing
that.
Will work.
Yeah.
Let's hope.
Let's hope. Exactly right.
Let's hope. It's one of my favorite neighborhoods in this town for a long time now, and watching it go through the changes of the last 20 years has been pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still cool. Like, it never really fell out of being a cool neighborhood,
right.
You know?
No, but we have another opportunity to grow it a little bit more.
That's right.
And then they'll have their little shining star in the center.
That's right. There you go. And as always, you guys have awesome food going
Thank
on. You're
you.
Adding
Thank
dishes
you.
Here and there, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty excited. Well, really appreciate you coming in. For everybody out there, check them out at sugarhousebarbecue.com. You can get menus, hours, all that jazz. And then we'll look for a big move in early April, it sounds like, right around there.
That's what we're shooting for.
All right. Thanks a lot, Bill. Appreciate
Thanks
it.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Here we are barreling into March, and you are getting your weekly daily calendar for March 5th to March 11th right now. As always, you'll want to go to checkout slugmag.com on a daily basis. There are always new listings for events and music going on around town being posted. These are some of the highlights of what I'm looking out there at that week. For if you're not familiar with Joe Ely, he is one bad man. He's a Texas guy. He's part of the Flatlanders, who have played over the years at the Twilight concert series and whatnot. Back in the day, he's played with the Stones. He's played with the Clash. He's quite a great songwriter. Writer, great guitar player. The Joe Ely Duo is playing at the Egyptian Theater up in Park City on Wednesday, March 6th, and that is a definite must-see kind of a show. The Big Shiny Geek Show pub quiz, the same night, over at the Lucky 13, always a great time. On Friday night, a ton of great shows. Of course, the Slug Localized Show featuring Secret Abilities, Lady Murasaki, and 90s Television. That's at the Urban Lounge. Out at the Saltaire, it's going to be, I'm going to guess, probably a sold-out show. Alabama Shakes, recently featured on Saturday Night Live, a serious buzz band for the last year. From Alabama, rootsy rock and roll, Brittany Howard, an amazing front woman. That'll be a great show. Also on March 8th, it's the Sugar House Art Walk at galleries all over Sugar House. And the Finch Lane Gallery has a 35 by 35 exhibition opening. That's 35 artists under 35 years old. On Saturday, the 9th of March, the Swingin' Utters bringing some of that great punk rock to Bird's Tiki Lounge. Murs is bringing a little hip-hop to Kilby Court. And Joan Rivers, the legendary catty comedian, she is up at Kingsbury Hall on that Saturday night. Same night. This is almost as good as Joan Rivers. The UCW Pro Wrestling at UCW Zero Arena. Real live wrestling on a local basis. That's some cool shit. I've seen that stuff. It's pretty damn fun. And then the same night, we have Tao and the Get Down, Stay Down, and Sally Ford and the Sound Outside at Urban Lounge. Lots of great stuff. Once again, be sure to check out slugmag.com every day. You can always, of course, submit your own events if you're throwing a good party that we want to know about. And you can add a little quality content for a mere $5 a month or $50 a year. Once again, your weekly daily calendar, check it out at slugmag.com. '90s Television, another one of our bands playing the always awesome Slug Localized show, coming up is 90s Television. They are out of Provo and Salt Lake City. They've been around for about 5 years now, gone through a rotating set of musicians like so many of our local bands do. In the spring of 2010, they released their debut full-length album, Raw Justice, and more recently they released a second disc just this past December called Going Blonde. This is a song called Chilly Down off of 90s Television's new album, Going Blonde.
Take two.
90s Television, as I mentioned, will be playing Slug's localized show on March 8th, along with Secret Abilities and Lady Murasaki. Tickets are a mere $5, and the music kicks off around 10 o'clock at the Urban Lounge. For more information on the band, visit them online at facebook.com/90s Television. We are welcoming into the studio Slug's film critic, Jimmy Martin, to educate all of us on all the stuff coming that's sort of the, I guess, pre-summertime blockbuster, post, like, February shithole doldrums where they dump all the crap.
Well, yeah, it's the long-term belief that we always say that January is where movies go to die.
Yeah, there we go.
Because nobody cares about them.
So we're getting here. We're going to look at everything from March all the way up through Memorial Day, which is sort of, still considered the launch, although...
We'll get to that point. What's funny about, like, when I was a kid, like, summer movies, it was, like, June, July, August.
Right.
You know, and every year it creeps up a little bit further. And I think it was, like, 2 years ago, like, Fast and Furious 5 came out. And it was, like, that was a pretty big movie. And it was, like, April.
Yeah.
And then, like,
yeah.
And that's kind of was the tentpole for that year. And, yeah, it's doing it again this year, and we'll get to it. But, yeah, I mean, even big movies are still coming out earlier. It's kind of getting creepy. It's going to become a year-round thing, I think.
Yeah, I remember that last year. Like, I think the Hunger Games was one of those last year that came out like a beat the crowd big time, and it would have made money probably anytime they put it out, but they really took a chunk.
And that comes, I know there's another one of those coming out, but they actually pushed it to November, so I think they're going for the holiday crowd that.
Yeah.
But this one, March 1st, is Jack the Giant Slayer, which I don't know. I keep seeing these previews, and it doesn't look that good to me. But then they kind of tweaked it a little bit, because when they first came out, they were kind of pushing it like a fairy tale romance kind of thing. Oh, and now, yeah. If you notice these the TV spots that are coming out, because we're getting closer, it's all action.
Yeah,
that's how they're pushing it. And it's Bryan Singer, who really hasn't screwed up too much, I'd say. I think, you know, everybody calls Superman Returns kind of a hit and miss. But,
right.
You know, I like this guy. You know, I'm excited for his next film after this, which is the next X-Men film. I think it could be fun. Who knows?
Yeah.
You know?
When I saw his name attached, it definitely piqued my interest. Certainly, yeah. You know.
If it wasn't for him, I think I'd be like, right. Whatever. But like, he usually doesn't screw up too much. So, we'll see about that one. But the bigger one, I'd say, is March 8th, and that's Oz the Great and the Powerful. That movie looks badass, I think. For those who don't know, it is the prequel to The Wizard of Oz, directed by Sam Raimi, if I remember right, who did all the Spider-Man movies.
Right.
It's got James Franco. Now, this is what's funny about this, that he wasn't the first choice to play Oz. Yeah. You know who it was? It was Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he was attached to it. And then he, for some reasons, I think it's just, you know, probably conflict, he had to leave. So they got James Franco, which I think is kind of a weird transition from Robert Downey to James Franco. I mean, you got like, what, 20 years between them or something?
Right.
Yeah, so that's that. It's Mila Kunis. A lot of people, I'd say spoiler alert, because it's still rumors, a lot of people are saying that she's the Wicked Witch of the West.
Oh,
that she turns into it. I don't know. But like that would be really cool, because that'd be a hot witch.
I love it. It's a pretty ballsy move to do a prequel for Wizard of Oz, too, I think.
I mean, it's
a risky proposition for some studio.
It's one of the most beloved films of, you know, all time.
Yeah. It could become a joke, or it could be like, it totally lives up. It's awesome.
I love that they're doing the black and white beginning, and when they go into Oz, it's color. Yeah. I think that's really cool.
Classic.
Real fast, I'm not sure if it comes out this date, but this is what I read on IMDb, and I know we're getting it, because after when I walk out of the studio, I'm going to go pick up a screener, because it's coming. A documentary called Don't Stop Believing, and it's the story about how they found, I can't remember his name for the life of me, but...
The Filipino singer?
Yeah. And how they found him on YouTube, and like how basically they, you know, he sounds identical to Steve Perry.
Yeah,
you know?
It's freaky.
Yeah, it's freaky. And I love it, because I've seen him live, and it really is like watching like a bunch of old guys like let a puppy loose across the stage, and he just like runs
frantically around. Running.
You know, he hasn't had the 30 years of like, you know, just a hard life on the road kind of thing.
Right.
So that one's coming out.
Theatrical release on that.
Yeah. It's smaller, but you know, like, and if you're in Salt Lake, it's going to be like the Broadway or Tower. One of things.
That's pretty sweet.
But still, yeah.
Nice.
Moving on, let's see. March 15th, the incredible Burt Wonderstone, which is Mike, oh God, what's his name? From The Office, Steve Carell.
Oh, yeah.
Steve Carell plays a magician with Steve Buscemi as his assistant. And nice. And so basically they're losing their audience. They're kind of old school magicians. And a guy who's pretty much douchey like Chris Angel, played by Jim Carrey, moves into town, and they kind of have this battle between who's the best magicians. Could be fun. I saw a preview last night, and the only thing that bummed me out is that it's PG-13.
Oh, really?
That movie, I think, would be fantastic in an R-rated form.
Right.
So we'll see how that one goes.
Interesting.
Yeah, March 29th, G.I. Joe Retaliation. And this was supposed to come out like a year ago. And like, I loved it because the toys were on the shelves, and everybody's like, yeah, G.I. Joe.
Here it comes.
And then they just took it away. And the trailers to me look good.
Yeah, was it out of a creative thing, or was it like the company going into some disarray or something?
There's some rumors, you know, oh, we just wanted a different release date and all this. But one rumor was they killed off Shannon Tatum.
Oh.
And now that he's kind of getting bigger, like, because like a year or two ago when they were kind of making this, like, he wasn't as big as he is now.
Absolutely.
And they were like, oh, shit. Like, we shouldn't have killed him off. Like, you know, like,
that was our
so
guy.
So I think they did some reshoots and either kill him off later or don't kill him. I don't know. So we'll see how that one works.
He's alive.
Yeah. Let's see. Another one coming out. Again, it's a smaller film, so the release dates kind of change. Room 237. This was a Sundance film 2 years ago, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe 2012. It's if you ever want to see somebody who's got way too much fucking time on their hands watching films. These guys just analyze every frame of The Shining.
Yeah.
And it's just like half of them, I'm like, wow, that is kind of fucked. Like, there's some weird shit they do show. And then you're like, there's some shit you're like, shut up.
Yeah.
Like, you're just making shit up now, you know? So, but it's still interesting.
Oh, that's great.
To
I'm excited
people.
That's coming out.
Yeah, it's good. This one I'm excited for. April 5th, going into April now. The Evil Dead remake. Now, do we need an Evil Dead remake? No, not really. But I think it's funny. It's got Bruce Campbell's blessing. It's got Sam Raimi. I think Sam Raimi's producing, if I remember right.
Okay.
And if you've seen the trailers, this movie looks fucked up. Like, it's just like, I look at it, I'm like, oh, what the hell? Like that. And then I think the trailer's like, this is the scariest movie you're ever going to see. And like that. I've got friends who are like, I'm not seeing it.
Really?
No.
Yeah, I got to see it just to compare it to the original. Is it anybody of note who made that, or is it just like a Raimi protege, maybe?
Some guy kind of good. I don't think it's anybody super big.
Yeah.
You know? And which, you know what, that kind of makes me happier.
Hopeful.
You know, for, yeah, for a director to get a chance to kind of make their statement. And also, don't use, for this kind of film, don't use bigger names, you know, for actors and actors, because they'll just take you out of it, you know?
Yeah, that's interesting. A remake of, basically Evil Dead 2 was Evil Dead also.
Yeah, you know, that's what, I mean,
third times around.
And a lot of people are like bitching. They're like, oh, it doesn't have the humor that the Evil Dead, they're like Evil Dead 1 didn't have humor.
It was scary and just fucking weird.
It was 2 that was kind of fucked up. Yeah. But yeah. So I'm excited for that one. I think it's going to be just grossly fun. April 19th, Oblivion. This is Tom Cruise's sci-fi film. It's, if I remember right, it's like there was a war on the Earth and we won, but they like fucked our planet up like
it's
crazy.
Kind of uninhabitable, pretty much. Yeah.
And I think it's, is it Morgan Freeman?
Yeah.
Yeah, with sunglasses.
Yeah, he's got like a colony of people they didn't know was there. Kind of pops out.
I think it looks cool. You know, people give Tom Cruise a lot of shit. You know, the guy's crazy as all hell, but I think half of Hollywood is. So he just let it out on a couch. You know, so. But I think he's fun. I think he's a great action star. You know, I love Ghost Protocol. I saw that one. I mean, he's still fucking
when I was watching the preview for this movie recently, I was just like, this thing is going to make so much money worldwide. Even if it's not as big in the States as people think it should be, because it's whatever. That thing is eye candy. It's going to be sci-fi mega flick all over the world.
And it looks gorgeous, too. Yeah, you know?
It looks killer.
Let's see. April 26th. This is the one that's kind of weird. And again, going back to The Rock, who's in G.I. Joe. And before that, he's in a film called Snitch that just came out in February. He's got this one coming out, and he's got another one that will come out a little bit later. He's got 4 films in
this
three fucking
quarter.
Months. Yeah, Pain and Gain, which is looks interesting, and it's directed by Michael Bay, which scares the shit out of me. And I think this is where Michael Bay and Mark Wahlberg got together to talk about Transformers 4.
And are their names Pain and Gain in the movie? Are these character names?
No, they're like weightlifters, and like they're like, and I think they rob banks and shit. It's like, and I want to say it's based on a true story or something. It just, I don't know, man. Like Michael Bay scares the hell out of me.
Yeah. It reeks of Tango and Cash.
Hey, that's a good film. Yeah. May 3rd, going in this. Now, this is pretty much the tent pole of the year. Iron Man 3 is going to be there, and I'm excited for this one. First time Jon Favreau is not directing the franchise. It's now Shane Black, who doesn't have a lot of directing credit to his name. Yeah. He directed a film called Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Yeah, love that
which
movie.
Which kind of brought back Robert Downey Jr.'s career, and it was kind of cool when Jon Favreau left. Downey had in his contract, I get to choose, I have final say who gets to direct it, and he goes, I want Shane Black.
Excellent.
Because he pretty much gave me my career back, which is perfect. But what Shane Black is known for is his writing. He wrote Lethal Weapon. He wrote a film called The Last Boy Scout with Bruce Willis and Damon Wayans, which is fucking hilarious. And The Longest Goodnight.
Yeah.
And so he's doing that. Tony Stark's kind of dealing with the aftermath of the Avengers. So life's changed. And the Mandarin, played by Sir Ben Kingsley, is your villain.
Nice.
Some other villains have been kind of rumored, but we'll see. And then Don Cheadle's back. He was War Machine in 2, and now he's the Iron Patriot.
Oh, yeah.
And what I've heard and I read that Shane Black said, they're kind of both trying to be the heroes. So, like, you know, they both want to be the superhero of the world.
Yeah.
And he goes, when they get together, it's like a buddy cop film. And right when he said buddy cop film, I got a boner. Because that's what he does best. This is the first... I think this is the first Iron Man film where I don't give a shit if I see the Iron Man suit. Like, because his writing is so good.
Yeah.
You could just have him talk the entire time.
Yeah, that'd be great. That's got potential.
Let's see. So, that one looks good. May 10th, The Great Gatsby, Baz Luhrmann.
Another delayed job, right?
Yeah. Well, that's what's funny. Everybody's like, what? Because they were kind of hoping for an Oscar run. And then now they're doing it in May, so that's probably not going to happen. We'll see.
A little counter-programming to the Iron Man, too.
Yeah, it's right?
Let's do the musical it's 3D, right?
Yeah. it's Leonardo DiCaprio playing Gatsby. You know, it's funny. When everybody's like, you know, why did they push it? This one, actually, it's just Baz Luhrmann's his style and his, I'd say, procrastination. He has never turned a film in on time.
Right.
And so whenever he gives a release date.
He's probably optimistic to start. With.
Like he'll give a release date and everybody goes, cool, see you six months after that one. But it looks good, it looks gorgeous. I like Baz's like oddball style.
What's her name, Carrie, who's playing Daisy. I think she'll be great.
Oh, she's
she
great
looks
actress.
Great when you see the clips of her. You know, so.
And just the style and the costumes and he's always gonna have some weird music in there too, so that's just Baz's style. Nice. Moving on, May 17th, I'm excited for this one. Star Trek Into Darkness looks awesome. J.J. Abrams, who we've all been geeking out in the geek world for that one, because he's now got Star Wars under his belt as well.
Yeah.
But he's still got to get Star Trek done, because he's how fucking geeky
he's the man
weird is
on that?
That,
right?
That's got to be weird, him sitting like, you know, like, okay, let's do the shot of the Enterprise, and let me talk about the Millennium Falcon over here for a second.
Right.
It's going to be fucking awesome. But Star Trek Into Darkness, people, that, and this is why I love J.J. Abrams is taking over Star Wars. This is a filmmaker who loves secrets. He doesn't like to show everything. You know, he doesn't show you his cards until you sit in that theater and watch it. That's what I want. We still don't know who the fuck that was. It Benedict Cumberbatch is the is the villain. Nobody knows who the fuck he is. Like, we still don't know. Like that, and it's what, May? We so we're a couple months away from it.
Yeah, exactly. It's not out there everywhere.
Any other film, like let's say, like just came to mind, like The Dark Knight. We all knew Heath Ledger was playing the Joker a year and a half before it came out. You know, and which was still great. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But it's kind of fun going in there, going, I don't know what is happening. You know?
Right. Yeah,
which makes you want to get in that seat like Friday night and be like, who the fuck is he, you know?
That could be a serious throwdown when you have Iron Man and Star Trek out there within a couple weeks of each other.
It's going to battle each other.
Boom.
Yeah, it's gonna, the money's going to start flowing.
Yeah.
So that I'm excited to see that. Chris Pine, I love him. You know, my doppelganger of Zachary Quinto as Spock, still good. I'm excited. I've seen the first, was it 5 or 10 minutes they played before The Hobbit? And it just looks gorgeous. You know, it's just that style that he's got. Cool for that one. And the last date in May is May 24th. You got two big ones kind of coming out. Fast and Furious 6, again, The Rock.
Unbelievable.
Won't fucking sit down.
Unbelievable.
Take a breath.
Yeah.
These films are so cheesy, but I have such a good time with them. And I think they've kind of realized that they are cheesy, and they're kind of grasping that sense of it. Like, I just watched 5 like a week ago, and still like was laughing my ass off of them pulling a bank vault through fucking Brazil. Like, you're stopping a guy who's, you know, ruining some lives, and they're causing like $1 billion of damage to the fucking city.
In the wake.
And they're like, this is justified. And you're like, no, it's not. So anyway, they're all coming back. I think the big, I'd say spoiler or whatever, hint is that Michelle Rodriguez isn't dead. Shocking.
No way.
And so, but we'll see. You know, they're all back. And they showed, the only thing I've seen of it was the Super Bowl spot they showed. And I was sitting there going, what the fuck? That looks kind of cool.
Yeah,
you know, so we'll see about that one. And this, the last one, The Hangover 3. Nervous about this one because 2 was a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And I loved 1. And they have said, I think they realized that they kind of like just got lazy, and they just like deleted Vegas on their script and just typed in Thailand.
Yeah,
and it's just, it's the exact same movie, you know?
Yeah.
And they said, this is not the same movie. I know John Goodman's in it, and he was on some talk show the other day and said, I'm a guy who likes to kill people and wear track suits. So he's in it, and Zach Galifianakis and Bradley Cooper and Ed Helms are all back. So we'll see. Who knows? You know, that could be a surprise.
It'll probably make a few coins itself, no matter what.
It'll be at Brubies
kind of proof, but
it'll be at Brubies for 9 years.
That's right.
I would say that Brubies owes their whole career to Todd Phillips.
Django Unchained might get traded out over Memorial Day, maybe.
Well, like, I mean, was it old school? Hangover 1, Hangover 2, and like something else that Todd Phillips directed all like just stayed in Brubies for like 900 years.
There.
And so I was like, get ready to send him a bouquet of roses for keeping you guys in business.
Serious. I mean, especially when it like builds up into May, it's just like boom, boom, boom. Things that are going to be,
like I said, when I was a kid, it was huge. June, July, and August, and those are like at least 4 of those are going to be fucking huge.
Mega,
films.
Yeah, top 10 at the end of the year, probably kind of thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate you coming in and giving us the lowdown.
Sure.
As always, you'll want to check out Jimmy's column in every issue of Slug Magazine and the big movie Mouth Off with Slug alumni Jeff Weiss.
Yeah, man.
We'll be back in probably end of May, early June, and talk about the actual summertime movies.
Like, you know, weird.
Awesome. Thanks.
Thanks.
As always, thank you so much for tuning into the Soundways from the Underground podcast. And for all things Slug Magazine, be sure to visit us at slugmag.com. In an upcoming episode, we'll have Mike Riedel, our regular beer contributor, into the Soundwave studio. We'll be talking about all the latest beer news from around town. We want to know what you want to know about what's happening in local brewing circles. So you can either send us an email to soundwaves@slugmag.com or give us a call and leave us a message on our automated voicemail line that's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Just dial in at 858-233-9324. Leave us a question about local beer, and we'll pass it on to our beer expert, Mike Riedel, in an upcoming episode. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and produced by Gavin Sheehan. The associate producers are Esther Moronio, Ricky Vigil, Alexander Ortega, and myself, Dan Nalen. Executive producer is Angela H. Brown. The theme was performed by Birthquake and recorded by Jesse Ellis. The main logo and art design is by T. Doan, and technical design is by Kate Colgan. Be sure to join us next week when we'll have the Bring the Gig guys in town. We'll have Mike Riedel here in the studio talking about all things beer, and we'll have the Salt Lake Pirate Punks as well. Once again, this is Soundwaves from the Underground podcast. Thanks for listening, and we will see you again.